Welcome to the Cigar Lounge, the official podcast of the Cigar Peg, where you get to know your friends a little better, learn a little bit more about each other, and grow as a community. And today, we welcome Jamie Champagne into the Cigar Lounge. Jamie, welcome.
Aloha.
How are you today, Jamie? Good?
I'm doing fabulous. It's another beautiful day in Hawaii. I really can't complain.
That's always good. So I want to start by asking you if you can just give me a little bit of a nutshell. What is it that you do? What is it that Champagne Collaborations is known for?
Oh, we are known for helping humans collaborate with technology. What I mean by that is we help you use it. We have fun with it, help you apply it to get more business stuff done. I make business analysis work fun.
And how did you get into this? How did this all come about for you?
Well, I'm pretty sure no one ever grew up saying, when I get old, I want to be a business analyst. And, you know, that was kind of the fell into the job role, like, oh, you're a business analyst. Okay, cool. What do you do? Well, I helped kind of train IT. I love the people side of IT. You know, like when you work with some really technical people and they speak geek to you and you just kind of smile and nod and have no clue what they're saying, that translator role to help people actually understand what is the IT, why should I use it, you know, what can I get from it? That's where it started. And then it became, more training, then got to speak at conferences and events. And that became the fun part of work.
Okay.
And that's what I really enjoyed. I was like, this is fun. It's like when you get to explain it, you walk through, you know, not that button. Okay, the other button. You know, it's watching people interact and see it. And that's where I got into it.
Nice. Well, that's, so you do more than just tell people to unplug it and start over again.
Absolutely. That is the default option. Yes.
I'm smiling because when I came back from my road trip last night, I woke up this morning and one of my clients, I couldn't get into the email account. And I checked and one of the emails said, we are transitioning to a 25 character password effective this morning. And I went, I'll never remember a 25 character password unless it's a 4-letter word, repeat it 6 times with an exclamation mark. So that's how I get into my account for that client. Thank God they can't see it. So tell me, how did you get involved in becoming a speaker? Where did that generate from? I mean, getting out on stage, where did that all come from in your life?
Actually, what's interesting is when I first got called a technical business analyst, okay, I went and researched, is what I do. I hear an idea, I go research. What is this? And then there was like a certification for it. Oh, cool, let's check this out. Then there was a group of people, a professional organization. I'm like, okay, this is cool. Let's find some more. Okay. And then they had a conference and it was really cool. And I saw on there, to be honest, the first time was, if you submit a speaking proposal, you'll at least get a coupon for half off the conference fee.
Okay.
Let's do that. Let's try that. You know, I was, young, naive. I was like, let's go check it out. So of course, didn't get picked, but I was like, I'm excited. I'm gonna go to the conference. Well, of course, it was in South Florida in like the heat of hurricane season.
Yeah.
Someone told me, bring your presentation with you just in case. Sure enough, a couple of speakers couldn't make it. And one of the gals said, hey, Jamie, we liked your proposal. We just didn't, have enough slots. Would you like to speak? And I said, okay. And brought it up, went, an hour of prep time with the one gal to help me get set up, ready to go, how it was going to work. Got up there and it was the discussion afterwards. It wasn't so much being up there and speaking and presenting a topic. Okay. It was the people came and connected me afterwards, asking the questions, let's talk more. That was interesting. And I was like, wow, this is a really cool way to connect with people.
Okay.
To share an idea. And that's, once I had that first taste, it was like, kind of like the Costco samples. They give you that little taste. So you want to buy it in bulk. I was like, right. I want more. And that's where it kind of really got started.
Well, and I guess I want to ask, because I really don't know. I had looked at your website just to get my head in the game. And I know, like right off the bat, a couple of your courses involve agile.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? I don't even know what agile is.
You ever plan to eat the salad at lunchtime? You know, going to be healthy. I'm going to make it in the morning. I'm going to be good. Then you watch a few commercials. Your friends call you up and let's go eat lunch. And you change your mind about 15 times by the time you go eat lunch. And that salad's long forgotten.
Right.
That's agile, but in the real world. So imagine running businesses that your customers are like that, that technology's like that. It's constantly changing. So you actually build planning for the changes. And so how do you build a business model? How do you budget? How do you hire people when you know everything is going to change? That's the agile part. That's the agility in it.
Okay. So agile is not a version of software. It's an approach.
Mm-hmm. There is a full methodology. There's one out there. You can find methodology. People have codified it and sold it and packaged it. You can get certified in it. Absolutely. And there's the piece of it to me where I really like it's the mindset.
Okay.
So let's talk through what you want and what you tell me what you want. Is that what you're going to want tomorrow? Is that what your customer's going to want? Are you going to change your mind after we talk here? Because you're going to go back and think about it and go, you know, maybe we could do some more. Okay. So how do we prep that? That's where the fun part, because especially like with technology, you invest in a infrastructure, you invest and get set up and ready to go. To change your mind later, you're like, wait a minute, whoa, 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 we just bought all this stuff. We got to be able to use it. You know, how do we transition? How do we leverage it? And so having those business side conversations with knowing what is out there with technology, that's the part, you know, I get excited about. And what I love to do is keep that agile mindset.
Got it. Okay. Now, I guess that means you said about whether or not people are going to change their mind. Their customers will probably change their mind at some point. How do you deal with that? Do you deal with customers directly for them? Do you deal with user stories, user involvement?
Mix of both. You know, if you can always reach out to them, you know, it's about like the techniques issue. How are you going to reach them? Is a survey, is that going to be really representative, or do you want a full focus group? Or do we do something where it's that modeling of them? Like, you know, let's create some personas. Let's picture some user scenarios. You know, what would be that user experience? Walk me through the storyboard. You know, we talk about having fun. You know, think of Disney. They plan huge movies by drawing out little comic strips.
Right.
Do that with your business. Write out a comic strip of what's your customer journey. You know, what are they going to go through? When you sit there and go, oh, they have to wait 5 minutes till I'm ready to answer the phone. And you see that on a visual, you're like, maybe that's not what the customer really wants or is expecting. Yet that's what we do. And so it's finding those ways to visualize it, to experience it, to connect, you know, with your customer, with the technology, with your solutions. That's to me the fun part. All those techniques, the ways you can.
What were you doing when you got into this? What were you doing before this happened?
I was technology background, technology systems. So I definitely did more schooling to learn and took the odds and ends job. I'm a millennial. You know, I've had 7 different jobs before I figure out which type of career I had. Absolutely. And I'm still deciding, I think, at this point, you know, how many more jobs we'll have in the mix. But it was always the technology piece. And what a lot of it for me was understanding processes, how things worked. I'd have to document it so we could process improvement. You know, what is today's version versus tomorrow's version, to be versus the as is. So where I got into that was I did a lot of the modeling for it, my computer background. And again, I could talk to people and say, Joe, you know, walk me through what you do each day. Let's get that. And I would model it out so we could have those good decision-making discussion.
Very nice. Okay. No, I was just curious because I love to see how people journey to where they are today. And I would just say, don't claim that as a right as a millennial to have a million jobs. I'm 63 and I've only just started.
Yes. We're all still deciding what we're going to be when we grow up, right?
I'm not going to grow up. So there's no options here. In your career, who would you say has been your biggest role model, supporter, mentor? Who has helped you grow to where you are today?
To be honest, it's been the last couple of years. Groups like Cigar Peg, I've gotten a coach, both business and speaking coach. My local community, Jeff Owens has been a big supporter and colleague and now friend who's, you know, helped us grow the local community. That it was these organizations, these professional organizations, and getting involved with them.
Okay.
Is been my actual biggest, you know, inspiration, motivator, someone to challenge me and look at what I'm doing. That those have been really the pieces that have pushed me to go from just doing it, you know, along with a day job to being the job, being the, you know, the fun of the day to day, that it's not even a job.
Awesome. So, I mean, I just love the fact that we're doing a shout out to Jeff Owens, because Jeff, you had a good effect on somebody. God, I love Jeff. What is it that, what gets you excited every day? You just said about doing the day to day and making it happen. What is it that gets you excited? What is it that you love doing every day that motivates you?
To me, every day is something new. I have SOS, shiny object syndrome. To where, you know, I see an object, I'm like, oh, what's that? You know, and I'm very good at starting things and realize that I got to be better at finishing them. And so, like, that's actually where I loved project work from early on, because everything was going to be different. You weren't coming into the same job day after day. And so that's the part where it's kind of exciting, is you almost don't know what's going to be next. You're not sure what you're going to learn. Like when I'm training, sure, I know what to go into it, but I'm not sure what questions exactly they're going to ask or where we're going to take this discussion. And it's that excitement, it builds up some positive energy for me that let's go explore. Let's see what happens. Again, there's that agile spirit in action. Let's see it, get some feedback, see what worked, what didn't work. And we'll course correct from there, rather than going into every day with like this huge plan and it laid out. You know, I have a general idea, but it's, ooh, what could be different today? What could be new and exciting?
Well, that kind of reaction screams to me that you have a propensity to be what I call a lifelong learner, and you're not scared to find something new. What systems, what process do you put in place when you have to learn something new?
Oh, I love learning. I will say I'm a certification junkie. And that going to get certification, especially on the technical side, a lot of these processes, procedures, methodologies, you know, ideals, they have certifications.
Okay.
And so those are actually really motivating for me, because they make you go learn what is best practice, what is industry standard, what is the world talking about when we speak this language. So the certifications have often been my biggest motivator on learning on that aspect. Though what I love, again, I like to really be engaged and going on, is I normally always have something on the side, like, you know, dual monitors going. I like to watch a video. I like, you know, sign up for every webinar out there, because if you'll give me the recording, I'll watch it later. You know, and, you know, that's a cool tool. Oh, Zoom's doing this. So you can do this on Miro. Like, okay, exciting. I'll just sign up, watch the video later. And I love having those around that kind of, you know, supports the shiny object syndrome that, okay, sign up for that and I'll just watch the recording later. I have a full watch folder in my inbox of just moving emails. And when I sit down and I want to get creative, I just put one of those on the side. And again, I'll do a shout out. That's how I watch a lot of the Cigar Pegs, you know, because I'm busy chasing a four-year-old, you know, during that time that the session's at. I'll watch it later when I sit down and I'm working. I'll watch a training video from LinkedIn Learning. Watch one of those. And by the way, I love that when you watch recordings, you can listen to everything at 2x the speed. You get to be double the efficiency. Exactly. And everyone sounds like Minnie Mouse.
Yes, I've learned a lot from Minnie and Mickey. What would you say is the single, I want to say, biggest mistake or failure that you've had through your career?
It's always a good question. Think about what we learn the most from. In hindsight, I remember refusing the idea that I'm an entrepreneur. People told me, when are you going to leave corporate? When are you going to go consult? When are you going to start your own business? And I was always, no, 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 no. That's not me. And it's funny how much my natural tendency I've realized is that. And it took me so long to kind of get there. And for me, I think it was really the mistake of feeling like you had to have it all. You had to have everything like planned and ready to go. And like you could run people and do HR and payroll and taxes and set up licensing, and versus how we are now, that what are you good at? And if people want to buy it, you know, that's the essential business model. Does it have to be more than that? No. And just sit there and go, here's what you like doing. Just do it. Why would you complicate it?
So how do you uncomplicate that?
I think the piece on that is not only what do you like, what do you do well, and then what do others like hearing from you? When you highlight that piece, whatever is that three-factor kind of perspective of it, we'll dive into that. And just ask, do we need anything more? I like doing this. I'm really good at it. And people are willing to spend time with me discussing it, pay for it, get training, such as, you know, like walking through technology.
Who does the stuff you're bad at?
That would be like my assistant. I learned to get a virtual assistant.
Okay.
And to chase down little details and remember to email people and follow up. That's where you find people who are really good at that. And you just partner, you know, having collaborators, I think, is the most fun piece now, is where I can collaborate with others.
Have you ever found yourself laying face down going, oh my God, how did I get here? And how do I get back up again?
Absolutely. I remember that because that was my last corporate job.
Okay.
That the part where the good of the whole was lost on individuals. People became so consumed with themselves. And I was like, but it's the work we're doing. You know, it's about the work, you know, like, you know, you don't have to like all your colleagues, but you know, it's the work to deliver. And trying to push that message in a place that wasn't receiving it. Where for me, I was watching kind of like if you had the scale where the fun factor slowly was not the fun factor, it slowly tipped, and the work, the four-letter word, came into play more often. And we lost that sight of why we were doing things, that I can remember having the conversation with my then boss. I lost my leader and got a manager after they fired him. That should have been a telltale sign.
Okay.
Hire the good people, hire in the not so good people, working for them and going, hey, you know, can you do more for me? And they're like, no. And I'm like, why are we showing up here every day? You know, like, why are you dreading this? That was not the fun part, you know? And I honestly, I mean, I took leave of absence to kind of figure out what I wanted to do. And I actually walked back in about 45 days later to that same boss. I said, tell me anything different from 45 days ago. And he said, nothing. And I said, okay, here's my letter of resignation.
And you walked.
I walked because I didn't have something lined up exactly, but it was just like the fun factor was gone.
Yeah.
The why we were showing up was gone. And when it's like, why would you drag yourself into there day after day? And like, again, hindsight, when you see that, it was like, gosh, I did that for a long time. You know, it wasn't the excitement of, I can't wait to get to work tomorrow. You know, once I started feeling that, like, oh, I'm starting to dread work. Ah, I don't want to go to in tomorrow. You know, the fun factor was lost.
Now,
I realized how important that was.
Do you ever feel that about what you're doing now?
It is rarely that I feel that now. And that's the exciting part, because I let that be a great trigger. Like I've taken some consulting work. And when that starts going off, like, oh, I got to talk with this person tomorrow. I'm like, that should be a flag. That's like that little warning light going off, going, Jamie, maybe this isn't right. You know, as much as it could be good paid work, it's not the right work for you. Let someone else have it, because it's not hitting the mark for me.
Got it. So let me ask you this. If you could roll back the hands of time and give yourself some business advice going into the future and say to your 16-year-old self, here's what you want to do so this doesn't happen, what would you tell yourself?
I think to me, the biggest piece is look for partner or collaboration, something on there so that you can partner and share that worry. I think I worried too much.
Okay.
Either worried what would happen or worried I wasn't prepared. And so it would overthink it or do more, or just not jump into something, to not worry. And to me, the piece says, I went alone so much. Get a partner, get a collaborator, you know, business support model of some structure so that they could share that worry and I could focus on what I could do versus worrying about what might happen negatively, especially. I was always a worry wart, I think, growing up a little bit. I would worry about things, wanted things to be perfect, wanted things to be great. I would worry about that. Don't worry about it. Enjoy the fun part and figure out how you can move that worry. It may not disappear, but to me, having like some sort of partner, collaborator, you know, I love having a stable family life now. It makes it easier to take some risk and dive into things. Having some partner, having some support.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I think that as you say that, my advice to people is, if you're worried about it, it's going to happen. Just sit back and enjoy it when it does. It's just, you know, things happen. It's the way it works. God, the stories I could tell on that. however, so as you start to build your career, do you see yourself currently as successful?
Absolutely. I step back and look at what I've done and go, wow.
And how do you define successful? Tell me what it is you're looking at when you see that.
One, I look at the budget. I will tell you that still comes into play a little bit for me, because knowing what I gave up with corporate, you know, I was lucky enough and had a really good corporate job that I walked away with, good benefits. I always tease because my husband, he was one of those ones who said, you have too many jobs, when he counted like my volunteer work, you know, sitting on boards and nonprofits. He's like, you have too many jobs. You need to quit one. And so, of course, I tease, what do? I quit the high paying, high benefits, well paid job and just went to do all the fun stuff. He's like, not that job. I meant like some of the other ones, of course. You know, so that piece there. But, you know, watching to say, wow, I can get everything I had with corporate and I can get it my way. You know, and to sit there, I'm not very good at marketing. You know, it's not something I love doing or enjoy it, or at least if I put it in a box from my view. I believe I'm pretty good at talking to others about things, but I don't market. And yet I have people still call me. You know, I have people who want to partner, and have them coming to me without me feeling like I'm doing a lot of work reaching out. I'm like, all right, I've got something to offer this world and people are willing to reach out for it. To me, that's a pretty good mark of success.
Well, and they, I was going to say, people know what you're good at. They know who you are and they know what you deliver. So that's what you need. That's what people are looking for. And that is what people should have. As you plan your future and you continue, I want to say, to be agile, what projects do you have on your, I don't know if you use a whiteboard, a vision board, whatever you use. What projects do you have that were not there 30 days ago?
Well, I know a few of them was getting a few more of my own courses. I do courses a lot for LinkedIn and Pluralsight and other providers to do my own courses. Literally just the other day, sat down and with my admin and said, help me put the structure in place. Let's do this. Let's dive in and put some on-demand courses. Those courses I watch of other people's, make my own, you know, be able to put Jamie out there that people can do the same thing that I do with their videos. That's out there. And, you know, the biggest piece for me is being able to take these training opportunities and these consulting works, yet be more of a mentor and see if I can really like partner, collaborate. I don't want to say like hire. I don't want to quite go that route just yet.
Okay.
How do I take on more work that I can share with other collaborators, friends of mine, those who want more work, more hands-on, you know, and make it that business model. So basically like, yeah, to take consulting gigs and get contracts and say, all right, great. But Joe, I'll let you go do the work. I'll do all the work setting it up. I'll make the relationship. But Joe, all you have to do though is the fun part you like doing. Just you go in, you do the thing you like doing, you can leave and I'll handle the rest. But that'll be what Champagne Collaborations does. You know, we can bring in that cool team of collaborators. And so really figuring out how that model works, what's the work exactly, and build those relationships. That's kind of the key thing I'm looking at.
If someone were to give you 10 times the budget you currently have, what would you change in your business?
I tell my husband to retire first off, so okay. Then he doesn't have to deal with my website. We'll get him out of the picture. He can relax.
Okay.
On that piece there. I think I would like to go out and go connect in person more with these organizations.
Okay.
It's great that we've gone virtual, but to go on site and say, Joe, you know, I'd like to come see how things are working and see you in action. So when we talk about where we can like find process improvements, help you get the value out of the technology you've already invested in. To get to go out there more, I think I'm pretty hesitant or trying to always make travel worth its time and effort to see clients and companies and organizations, you know, across the world and get to see them in action, experience the culture, and you know, really kind of feel what it feels like on how work is and is not getting done, I think would be really fun and exciting for me. I'm a problem solver. I'm always looking for like what's causing the source of that issue. You know, I want to take things apart to see which piece is missing.
Oh, I understand that. So I guess what you're saying is right now, from what I heard, you are pretty much all virtual right now. Is that correct?
No, I am pretty much splitting the time. So
you are. Okay.
Mm-hmm, yep. I'm splitting the time. So we're traveling to in-person conferences. I do a lot of those and trainings, workshops at the events. And then, but even here in Hawaii, yes, I think it's the convenience factor. People finally got comfortable being virtual. And so people down the road from me, they still do a virtual training, you know, and then I have other people who still, they're like, nope, we need in-person. That in-person energy is definitely a feeling that, you know, enjoy. So I'm about 50-50.
Okay. Yeah. And I was just asked, cause I pulled the plug on virtual in the summer of 20. I said, I've had it. 3 months, I'm done. I hated it. So I went back out live and I can't stand not being around my clients. I need to see them at their worst and at their best. If you had an opportunity to do any other career on earth and you were fully funded to do it for the rest of your life, what career would you choose?
Oh, I'd probably be a stand-up paddleboard instructor.
Nice.
You know, just hang out at the beach and, you know, wait for the tourists and you, like a board here. Yeah, I'll show you. And, you know, I love it that the gentlemen, no, I don't need instruction. They jump up and they fall down 15 times. And all the ladies who want to, you know, no, show me how to do it. You know, not to stereotype, but yes, I love watching that happen. I just love watching people at the beach and instructions and get active and be there. But yeah, to me, it would be something completely non-technical. It's just being out there and enjoying the water.
Well, I've done a lot of interviews and asked that question a lot, and that wins and takes the cake. I love it. So with that answer, though, I'm going to ask you, just please let everybody know what's the best way to get a hold of you if they want to collaborate with you, chat with you, or somehow enter your world. What's the best way to find Jamie Champagne?
Well, believe it or not, when we're not on the surfboard, you know, we are in the office occasionally here in Hawaii, but you can find us. Easiest for me is on LinkedIn. I'm always on there. Please connect with me, you know, send me messages there. And then everything on the website, champagnecollaborations.com is where we will highlight all our events, things I'm speaking at, and more. So please connect and reach out for both of those.
And that is a wrap. Thank you very much, Jamie. I appreciate you being in the Cigar Lounge today.
Thank you so much, Joe. This was fun.
Have a great afternoon. And we thank you, our listener members. Please join us every 2 weeks as we drop a new episode, placing another Cigar Peg member in the spotlight of the Cigar Lounge.